not too long ago, I asked the Lord in prayer, I said, how can we move forward in seeing the demonstration of your spirit in people, to see the healing, to see the things that you have declared in your word. We've been seeing some really good stuff, but there's still a lot needs to be done. And the answer surprised me. Holy Spirit just spoke very clearly and very plain to me, and almost at first it's almost like I heard a sigh, like, and Holy Spirit said, stop trying to produce me and start letting me be who I am and do what I do. I thought, wow, stop trying to produce me. I knew exactly what he meant when he said that. Stop trying to figure out how to make this happen. You know, we're like that. We want to know, okay, what do we need to do? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What steps do we need to do to make all this happen? And I know we're that way because as soon as he said that, just let me be who I am and do what I do, the next thing I said was, how do I do that? You know, we feel like it's us that, and we're just vessels. He just works through us. We have anointings and gifts that God uses, but he's the one that does it. Amen. He's the one that does it. I've got a friend named pastor friend, Casey Harriman from Stratford. And through all this health stuff I've been going through, he has found illustration after illustration after illustration. I mean, everything that happens, he gets a message out of. I told him here a while back, I said, you're welcome. Because he gets a spiritual insight and revelation out of everything that happens, every stage. And most of the time, he's right. And one of the things that I've had to realize, he told me early on when all this happened, he said, I heard in my spirit that you're gonna play out and demonstrate the working of God in your life. And I thought, okay, yeah, God's a healer. He's going to heal me. And but as I've been going through this process, I go Tuesday to hopefully the final surgeon. And if things are ready, they're going to do reconstructive surgery and I'll have all this stuff behind me. And praise God, I'm just praying that it's at that point. And but through this whole thing, you know, early on, the thing that caused all this was dealt with very quickly. It was attacked. Matter of fact, miraculously, it was dealt with. And instead of spending weeks and weeks and weeks in the ICU, fighting for my life, trying to overcome sepsis, I was out of the hospital in 2 days. Amen. Praise God. Thank God. I've heard of people since then that didn't even have as bad a situation as I had that have died shortly after going into the hospital. They didn't survive very long. And my body was completely full of infection. It was eating on my muscles. It was building into the layers of my muscles. It was in my blood. I had a huge abscess. All this stuff, you know, was bad. And I didn't know it was that bad. I knew, well, as Betty says, I'm the worst patient she's ever dealt with. I just don't feel like anything's that bad, you know. We'll get over this. We'll get over this. And so I waited until my boys had to carry me out of the house. Literally, and as they were trying to get me out of the house, the only way they could get me out was to stand me up. They had to get me up And Austin bent over like this, and my oldest son picked me up and threw me on Austin's back, and he grabbed hold of my arms and was holding my arms like this, and he was carrying me on his back. And then Benaiah tried to get, and as I was trying to help them and was trying to get out of the house, I blacked out from the house to the car. That's the last thing I remember. I was unconscious from the house to the car, and then I came back around, and as they put me in the car, so everything looked bleak, but God stepped in because he answers prayer. And so in 2 days, I was out of the hospital and back home. And then in 2 weeks, all of the things that caused this was gone, purged. Amen. Another time, God just come in my home 2 weeks later and healed. I still had the bulges in my legs where the infection, and the doctor talked about maybe having to cut those out and stuff. But God came in my home at 5:30 on a Sunday morning, and I felt the power of God come all over my body. I mean, I had goosebumps. The hair on my body was standing straight. I mean, the presence of God is amazing. And that morning, all the infection was gone out of my body. God purged me completely. And so all of it was gone. But then for 6 months now, I've been dealing with the repair process, the healing process. And I've been pretty irritated about that. And, taking so long and having to go through three surgeries now and possibly, they're telling me possibly two more, but I'm wanting it to be one more. But as I looked at this, I realized that Brother Harriman was right. When we come to Jesus and give our lives to him, he deals with the offending infection in our lives immediately. The blood of Jesus cleanses us and washes us. But if we stop there, we never get well. Because we have to be regenerated. Our minds have to be renewed. There is a discipleship regeneration process that has to take place in our lives. And there's a lot of surgeries and a lot of reconstruction that has to take place in our lives. And I found that a lot of people never get to that point. Because early on in our Christian lives, we seem to feel like that when somebody came to the altar and they gave their lives to the Lord, that everything should be fixed at that moment. And because of that, a lot of people became schizophrenic in the church because they lived two different lives. They lived the life that everybody expected them to live, but then behind the scenes, they lived the life that they knew they were because they were still not healed. They were still not delivered. Amen. I've been having people ask me a lot. We've seen some deliverances, and I've been doing this for years, and I'm always having people come up to me and say, that's not right. That's doctrinally, that's not right. You can't cast the devils out of Christian people. I got to tell you something. In James, it says where envy and strife is confusion and every evil work. There's a lot of people that get into envy and strife in their life and they open the door. I got to tell you something. You think you're going to be safe? You open the door to the devil's tactics, you get what he brings. Amen. Come on, I know that's messed with some of y'all's theology. But when I look somebody in the eye and they're crazy as a loon, and I say, come out, and they start manifesting and screaming and crawling on the floor like a snake, my theology goes out the window, and I go after what's there. Amen. I don't care if they confess Jesus 500 times. If there's demons manifesting, they need deliverance. Because they might have dealt with the original sin right up front, but there's a lot of garbage in our life. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of wounds. There's a lot of mental damage that's been done in our lives that has to be healed, and we have to put off the old man concerning our former lusts, be renewed in the spirit of our mind and put on the new man. Paul said that. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden you just put on the new man. It means you get dressed. Amen. How many of y'all just walk out of the shower in the morning and go, woo, and you're dressed? If you do, please tell me how to do that. because, you know, I could, my impatience would be greatly saved. But you have a process you go through. Amen. We, as children of God, have got to learn how to change garments. And we've got to learn how to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. If we don't, unforgiveness will eat you alive. And many will not admit they have unforgiveness because that would be unspiritual. I don't want people to think I'm not spiritual. They all know you're not spiritual because of your fits. Oh, I'm getting rough today, ain't I? You can ask Sister Betty, there's been times in counseling where I wasn't getting anywhere with somebody because they were defensive and trying to keep me away from the problem. And I have this, I don't know if it's ornery or what, but I just start poking their buttons. I reveal what's there. Amen. And I've had people go from trying to be pious to screaming and carrying on and throwing a fit and mad, you know, just manifesting. Praise God. Oh, some of that scared some of y'all. You think about, I'm going to stay away from him. Amen. I've often said, if you got a chip on your shoulder, I'm going to knock it off because let's just get this over with. Amen. Let's just get this over with. If you go mad, I don't want to walk on eggshells around you. Let's just throw the egg at you. Amen. Let's see what happens. But as I went through this process, I began to realize Brother Harriman was right, because there's been a couple of times now where to get healed up. And the doctor told me something that was really strange. Yes, I'm going to use this as an illustration now because Holy Spirit just took over and I'm not going to try to preach the message that I had. But the doctor told me something early on when I was kind of irritated. He told me that I had to have another surgery and this whole thing, it's just like, and I said, what do we need to do to get this done? He looked at me with a little grin on his face. He said, we can't do anything. He said, your body has to decide to heal this. He said, if your body does not decide that this needs to be healed, it will not heal. He said, if your body decides that this is something that belongs there, this cavity, this huge cavity that was formed by this infection and all the tunnels that it built, he said, if your body does not decide to heal this, it will protect it. And that's why I've had to have more surgeries, because my body has tried to seal it off and form a new organ. And so he has to go in there and cut out all the stuff my body's done to try to protect this thing. And the proud, you remember the proud flesh? Proud flesh grows in an open wound that does not heal. And proud flesh will not heal. It will not allow healing, and it will not bond to the body. It'll only bond to the part that it grows from, but it will not bond to the rest of the body. Therefore, it restricts and stops the healing process. And it has to be cut out. All of this began to make sense, and Brother Harriman, you know, he just, every time I go up to prayer meeting in Stratford, he just gets all excited and starts preaching a message on this stuff when I share with him what's going on, and I just look at him and say, well, you're welcome. I'm glad you're excited about this. Glad I can give you messages here. But early on, I wondered, why do we keep having to have surgeries? Because the doctor just, you know, you have to pry information out of them. And he finally told me, he said, because your body has to decide that this is an enemy and that this is a problem, and your body has to decide to close this up and heal it. And he said, all I'm doing is coaxing your body to try to get it to heal instead of protect this thing. Okay? Now, we could preach all day on that. How many times has the body of Christ refused to heal something up that was formed by division, that was formed by anger, that was formed by disagreements? And it leaves this cavity. It leaves this unwholeness, but we build a protection around it and actually start new churches around it. Amen. 90-some% of every church that's planted in America in the last several years has been planted by splits, not by evangelism. So 90-some percent of the churches in America are in existence because there's been an infection that created a chasm that instead of being healed became a whole nother doctrine. And so we build a doctrine around that which afflicted us. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. I could go into most churches today and just about cause a riot just by simply poking them in what it is that established them. Amen. I've done it. Okay? I've done it. Why? Because if we don't acknowledge things that need to be healed in our life, then we protect it. We justify it and we make excuses for it. Amen. And anytime you say, well, I'm mad because you are blaming the other person for your anger and your disposition. Oh man, this is good stuff. Because nobody can make you something. You have to have it in you, and all they're doing is bringing it out of you. Amen. You ever read in the, you know, the fruits of, or the works of the flesh about outburst of anger? Amen. That's in the works of the flesh. That's in the demonic realm, works of the flesh. That's with drunkenness. And man, I am doing such a good job preaching this morning. This is awesome. Anytime you have outburst of wrath, it's because wrath is dwelling in you. And somebody just figures out how to bring it out of you. It's just the right situation. It's just the right thing. That which you're not at peace with in yourself is always agitating. Always cutting at you, always aggravating. Amen. Hallelujah. Having to deal for 6 months with an open, unhealed wound with drain tubes, and I'm sorry if that's too much information, has caused me to realize that my prior life did not have very many frustrations. Because there's times that I feel like I am just literally going to come apart at the seams. from this thing. And I have to discipline myself. You feel the peace and quiet come over us at that moment. Amen. To discipline ourselves means that you step in with the power of the Holy Spirit and you say to your mind, you are not going to act that way. You are not going to behave like that. You're going to discipline yourself and you're going to act this way. Amen. Wow, that's hard. That is so difficult. Amen. There's times that you feel like you're just going to come apart the seams, and then you stop and say, that's not who I am. I don't come apart at the seams. Amen. I've learned how to, you know, I am amazed lately if people come up to me and say, man, you're just such a calm person. I love that. Because I'm anything but a calm person. But I've learned how to discipline the agitating energy that I've dealt with my whole life. Amen. When I was in school, they tried to beat it out of me. Amen. They couldn't figure out what to do with me. And then after I got out of school, that energy has run me all of my life. I just go, and everything's too late. And every time I start something, it should have been done yesterday. And we've got to go. We've got to push. This has got to be done. We've got to have it. And I've done that all my life. And I'll start 15 jobs and expect myself to finish it that day. Amen. And so when you see me like this, understand that that is years of practicing discipline. My teachers would be so proud of me if I could go back to grade school and do this. It's years of practicing discipline. Amen. So we as the body of Christ, we have got to learn to acknowledge the things in our life that are not supposed to be there. Don't justify them. Don't make excuses for them. And every little bit, you need to go back to the doctor and say, Dr. Jesus, I need you to cut out some proud flesh. I need you to cut out some stuff that's keeping me from healing. I need you to do surgery, and you stay on your face before God until he attacks it and deals with it, and it's not a pleasant thing. Amen. But you can come out of it singing. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. I have enjoyed the fact that I have come out of every surgery singing and worshiping and declaring the word of God. Amen. That's better. The first time they gave me way, the first surgery, of course, they had to really, I mean, it was emergency and stuff, and they just loaded me with stuff. Took me forever to wake up, and I was confused, and you know, I was sick and nauseated and couldn't figure out where I was at, and I finally started coming around enough, and listen, you know, this might offend some of you, but wait, you know, I'm an equal opportunity offender, so I'll be on your stuff anytime now. But I finally, my kids said that I finally said, oh man, I'm so confused. This must be how Joe Biden feels every day. Which is awful. But that's what I said. I didn't come out of the first surgery being real spiritual. Matter of fact, I came out as a stand-up comedian. I told my kids that the doctor sewed a zip-up pocket so that I could carry my cell phone. Gave me a zipper pocket. Yeah, it takes a little bit. After the first encounter with Jesus, it takes a little bit to kind of get all that worked out. You know what I'm talking about? But the second surgery, I came out singing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Amen. Under sedation. The nurses have told me that it's impossible, and they can't believe, they don't understand. They said they've never seen anything like this before. And I'm saying, oh, thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come on. Amen. Take this thing, turn it around, and make a demonstration out of it. Hallelujah. The second time I come out singing Amazing Grace, I was still out, just completely out. They'd just taken the tube out of my throat and wheeled me out of the operating room. And as I come out the operating room, the nurses told me later that as I come out the operating room, I was singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, the saved a wretch like me. Amen. And I sung that until I woke up. And when I come around where I could actually know what's going on, I looked over and the nurse was leaning on my bed looking at me like this. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I ain't never seen anything like this before. She said, you're sedated and you're singing and you're telling me what the Bible says. I was preaching Romans 14 and 17 to them. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I said, if you don't have that, you just got religious dogma. You don't have anything because the kingdom of God, you know. Hallelujah. I like it. I don't like having to go through it, but I like coming out of it like that. And I'm saying all this to say this: God has demonstrated himself through this process, which I would have, I'd like to have been healed, but I went through this process. This is where we're at. And as I went through this process, I've seen the process of salvation. Because each time I get better. Hallelujah. Praise God. At first I was really irritated until I found out that a pretty good percentage of people that go through what I've went through have the condition that I've had, never ever heal up. But I'm healing up. Hallelujah. Praise God. We do not have to stay in the situation that life created in us. We do not have to stay in the mindset that life gave us. We don't have to stay in the habits that have been given to us. We don't have to even stay in the things that's given to us by genealogy or by our ancestry. Jesus is a changer. We're a new creation, a brand new man. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God wants to take us through the process, and sometimes that involves him doing deep surgery like he was doing this morning, saying, come back one more time. I need to clean you up. I need to do some surgery. I need to do some cutting. And then we finally, hopefully, get to the last process where that thing that life created in you, that damage that life created in you, is finally healed and put back together. And there's a lot of people stop really short of this. Amen. Stop really, really short. It's not a good idea to stop short. It's not a good idea to say, well, that's good enough. Don't ever settle for good enough. Just keep moving. Amen. Sister Carolyn told me that her husband went through the exact same thing that I'm going through. And she's talking about how frustrated he was and how hard the process was. And she said he decided, told the doctor wanted to do one more last surgery. And he said, I've had all the surgeries I want. I don't want it anymore. I'm done. And she said he suffered with that the rest of his life because he didn't finish the process. How many of us have not finished the process of healing in our lives? And it's still an open sore, and it keeps recreating the same thing over and over and over. Amen. We keep going through the same cycles over and over and over because we won't let Dr. Jesus continue the process. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to shut those doors. You got to get that stuff out of your life, because it will recreate itself. Amen. I've often said that unforgiveness will recreate you in the image of who hurt you. We do not want to be created in the image of the one that hurt us, because if you don't get it healed up, you end up acting just like the person that hurt you. Because it's what you meditate on, it's what you think about, and you receive that into your life, and it brings forth fruit. And next thing you know, the fruit it's bringing forth is a reproduction of what was given to you. We want to be created in the image of Jesus. Amen. So we have to say, Jesus, go after the roots. Go after the fruit that has been sown into my life. Kill it. Destroy it. Take it out of me. I don't want it anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. A lot of times when I'm trying to help somebody rebuild their lives after they've been through terrible divorces, damage in their lives, and they've gotten their lives back together, and they've married somebody else, and then they start having problems, and then we end up trying to help them, I often tell them, you're not reacting to the person that's present. It's not the person that's present you're having problems with. Something they've done has reminded you of the former person, and you're still fighting that person in... Come on, somebody. The person that's present right now isn't who you're upset at. Because you didn't give yourself time to heal, and you haven't went through the healing process, so you are responding to former situations in the present, and you're recreating the same thing in the present that happened back there. Because that's what lives in you. That's what's alive. And so we have to go through the process of cutting that out of our life and getting healed up, so that we can live in the present with the people who are present. Amen. Got to be healing. Got to be restoration. Hallelujah. Praise God. I wish when people come to the altar, we could just zap them, woo, and everything was fine. Amen. I tell you what, if you really give your life to the Lord, there's a lot of things that change instantly. The spirit in you changes. Amen. You receive power to stand. Amen. You receive power from God. But this is the problem. This has to be retrained. It has to be regenerated. It has to be renewed. It has to be retaught. You got to grow some new trees. If you've heard my teaching on the neurological trees that we grow, what we use to think with, praise God. A lot of people say, well, you know, you got to do something for so many days, and then it becomes a habit. No, it does not. You can practice something for 30 days, and what you do is you grow this little neurological nodule in your brain where this new information lives. But it has not grown to the point that it is now you. It's only information that has been found a place to be stored. In order for that to actually become a life-changing event, you have to continue to practice that truth day after day after day for over 60 days. And I'm talking every day, time after time after time, you have to practice that in order to grow what they call a neurological tree in your brain. It's all these little neurological endings, and it grows, and now you have created a physical place for this new truth to live and operate. And now that truth is who you are, because it's become a physical part of who you are. Now, that other those other trees of your old life are still there. But you have to choose to operate in this new understanding. Now, this is a great part. As you do that, those old neurological trees begin to die and dissolve, and they literally turn into gas in your brain that your lymph nodes carry out at night while you're sleeping. So when you go to bed at night, if you are practicing this new understanding, if you're practicing truth, if you are discipling after Jesus Christ in the Word of God, and you're continually, day after day after day, practicing and enforcing that truth, when you go to sleep at night, those old ways, those old neurological pathways in your brain start dissolving, and your body takes it out with the trash. And if you continue, after a while, you are a new creation, a brand new man. Old things have been passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Why? Because you stuck with it long enough to develop the new part of your brain that God gave you, because the soul has to be disciplined, changed, and renewed. And all the old things have passed away. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. See, for years, they believed that the brain was fixed and could not be changed. And that's where all the psychotropic drugs come from. They did not believe that you could change your brain. So they come up with all these drugs to try to change your brain or change your behavior through pharmaceuticals, which can help for a little bit, but then they develop their own problems. But what they have found out in the last 30 years is not only is your brain changeable, you can totally reprogram your brain. But we don't like to go through the trouble of doing that, because the old ways are so much easier. It's familiar. Amen? Praise God. I'm going to let you go here in a minute. I can see smoke coming out your ears because there's too much information going on. Familiarity is your greatest enemy when you're trying to change and grow in God, because familiarity always tries to pull you back into that old behavior. When you get relaxed, I tell this in being in drug rehab or anything that you're trying to change your life in, I tell them, I say, right at first, you're all in. You put everything you got into it. Oh, you're just doing so good. You're high. You're doing great. And this always happens when people go to rehab, and they're you know, especially Christian rehab, and they're in the Word every single day. They're worshiping with people. They're in the atmosphere, this different atmosphere. And then they get out of that place, and they get back into reality, and the old familiar is still waiting on them, and they end up gravitating back to what is familiar. And the same thing happens all over again. Why? Because you have got to turn on your familiar like it's an enemy and say, I will not accept you. You are not a part of my life anymore. I will not. I mean, smells, tastes, atmospheres, all this stuff is so familiar. Next thing you know, it's comfortable, and you feel like you got this. Oh, I got this. I'm doing great. I got this. And that's the most dangerous place for somebody that's trying to change, is that place where you get where I've got this. I'm doing good. Amen. That's about when everything falls apart, because you got this. You ain't never gonna got this. Holy Spirit has got this. And you got to live every single day of your life dependent on Holy Spirit and going after Him. Because once you get familiar, once you get relaxed and that familiarity starts in, you stop reading the Word. You stop praying. You stop doing what you've been doing that's made you free. And next thing you know, you start thinking the old thoughts. You start getting more familiar. And you get relaxed with this thing. And next thing you know, you're right back with the same people doing the same thing. And this time it's worse. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all didn't know you was going to get this type of lecture, did you? Hallelujah. Praise God. God wants us to change, and we have to go through a process. If we do not embrace the process, we will never, ever get to the place God wants us to be. You have to embrace the process. Amen. You have to embrace the training. You have to embrace the discipline. Praise God. Hallelujah. If I do have to go through one more surgery, I am praying that I get to pick my own song. Amen. In some ways, I've been wanting to sing, "Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down." Amen. I'm just thinking that would be just great. You know, they pull that tube out of my throat and all of a sudden I cut loose with "Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down." Amen. you know, that'd be good. But there's some others I could sing. You know, there's sometimes I want to just break loose and just a giving glory to God song. I mean, one of those songs that says "You are holy. You are worthy." Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We'll see. Praise God. If it goes the other direction, you'll know because I won't say anything about it. If my soul gets in charge and I come out singing something like, "Get out on the highway, looking for adventure." You know, if that comes out, I probably won't say anything about it, you know. I'll try to keep that quiet. Stand with me today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Today, Holy Spirit, thank Brother Colin for prompting me, giving me a heads up this morning. Because Holy Spirit wanted to confront us today and say, "Look, we need you to go a little deeper here. I want to bring you a little deeper." That doesn't mean that it's finished. That doesn't mean it's all over with. That means you've made another step in your process. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I often tell people, you know that you're getting into the healing realm when you start blessing the people that have done you wrong and asking God to give them the very thing they took away from you. You start blessing them. There's been times that people have just tried to torment me as a pastor, aggravate my life because they had an agenda. And instead of getting, you know, I've heard people pray, "God," they try to use religious talk. What they're actually saying is, "God hurt them." Hurt them real bad, God. That's not going to get anybody any good. Amen. But instead, I turn around and I start saying, "Father God, I ask you to give these people peace. Ask the peace of God to come upon them. Lord God, that they would abundantly have the peace that passes understanding, Father. I pray that you bless them with peace. I pray that you bless them with love. God, I pray that you bless them with kindness. I pray that you bless them. Everything that they've tried to take away from me, I bless them with and say, God, give it to them. Because what that does is that separates me from it, and it helps me live a free life where I'm not tied to that. Amen. Father, I thank you so much for this time together. I thank you so much for this time, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that every person in this house today come to fullness of your presence, come to fullness of understanding. Lord, help us not to cut this thing short, not to take shortcuts, help us not to try to take the easy way out, but Lord God, to let you lead us and guide us and take us through this process. Thank you, Father.